It's Chevy truck season, and there's no better time to do what you do best. No better time to get the job done in a Chevy Silverado with best-in-class standard torque and a Turbomax engine with a 5-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty that outlasts both Ford and Ram. So kick off whatever your thing is season right, because it all starts with a Chevy truck.
See your Bay Area Chevy dealers today.
Based on latest competitive data, excludes other GM vehicles, whichever comes first. See dealer for limited warranty details based on Ford and Ram 5-year, 60,000-mile warranty on gasoline engines.
All right, nice to have you back with us this morning as we get ready for game 40 of the season. The Giants in first place by half a game over San Diego and one over the Dodgers. The Dodgers have won four straight, San Diego 5 out of 6, and the Giants play a Pittsburgh team that's won 4 of 7 and had a game last night. Bruce Jenkins, it had a little bit of everything in it last night, I must tell you.
Well, it did. Not a great outcome for the Giants. Not a great night for the bullpen. But you know, the Pirates are pretty scrappy. They got a lot of good hitters in that lineup, which isn't to make excuses. But you gotta make pitches. You gotta throw strikes. You gotta if you get into your bullpen early, you need help from a lot of guys, and it really didn't work out. And it's a shame. A lot of good things happened. They had a terrific defensive game. Ruff had an amazing game overall. He crushed the ball twice and threw out two guys from the outfield, and they had a fantastic relay on the Brian Reynolds shot down the line. Talkman ran it down perfectly, and Crawford, it was like the old Reggie Jackson to Dick Green to Sal Bando play in the 74 series, going back a ways here, fans. But Crawford, just a perfect footwork and an absolute strike at the plate. It was so unlikely they'd get him at home. It didn't look like they'd have any chance, and yet they pulled that off. A lot of nice things, but it kind of blew up. And, I think there's really some questions about Doval. Is he ready? Should he be in the minors learning how to pitch? Instead of doing it up in the big leagues, he's taken a few lumps without a doubt. So these are things he'll have to sort out.
Well, it's funny that the play that you described, for me, I thought of the World Series against the Tigers. Remember when they threw the throw out, the Prince Fielder at the plate on the relay?
Was it Scudero? No, that would be...
I think it was Crawford. I think Craw made the throw. Or they overthrew the cutoff man, and maybe it was Scudero. But it was one of those plays, it's an exciting play because if you're watching it at the ballpark, you can see it happening.
Yeah.
As the ball gets to Crawford. Now, Crawford's a former, high school quarterback, and boy, when he throws accurately. And I could see him when he got the ball that he got it in his hand, and I swear he looked like Kenny Stabler. And he was going to throw a strike to the plate, which he did. And I thought Casale made two really good tags, Bruce, because being a catcher today,
absolutely,
it's not simple, because if you're blocking the plate, they could call a guy safe if you don't give him a lane, and you've got to make a play. He made two, and on the rough tag especially, and on this one.
Yeah, especially when it comes in on a hop, that just adds to the difficulty of the equation. But Casale's been, what a find! I mean, it must be a relief for Kapler. If Posey needs a break, you put this guy in there. He's obviously handled the pitchers great, the way he had that streak of nobody scoring while he's catching, and his mechanics are great. And he'll do a little bit of hitting, but he's a real defensive gem. And this team's going to need to play that, keep playing that good defense.
Well, he's hitting 100.
Yeah.
So,
he looks more like a hitter than he actually is. But
yes, he does. He looks like when he gets up to the plate, he looks like Mark Hill. And he looks like he can do some damage.
Yeah.
And then not much happens. But he got a key walk. I mean, they walked him either it was last night or the other day, and he started a rally by getting a walk. So, but he's been a good backup. He really has.
Mm-hmm.
The game last night, let's talk a little bit more about the game last night, because the defense, Longoria had a nice play last night on the double play, doubling Anderson off.
Yeah.
Three double plays for the Giants. Dubon is playing good second base. I like him. Now, Solano's on his way back. And they do need a bit of offense, but Dubon has done a good job at second base.
Yeah, you really got to hand it to Bond, because I don't know where he's the most comfortable, really. Maybe center field, you know, but he's played a really nice shortstop when asked to do so. He's definitely a defensive asset at second base without a doubt. And they move him around, and he responds. That will be interesting because, you know, they hit enough to win last night, but they're definitely going to need Solano's bat, and they take a little bit of a hit if he's in there at second instead of Dubon. So, but it's nothing but a boon that Solano is coming back, as well as Dickerson, I think, is coming back, or at least they brought him back on the roster today. Yeah.
Yeah, he's back today, and Lamont Wade was optioned out. So imagine Dickerson will be in left today, and Talkman will move over to right, because Yastrzemski, unless Yastrzemski plays, because he's been banged up too.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, it's been an interesting quarter. You know, the first 40 games are down now. The Dodgers lost Seager. They've got Albert Pujols. They made a trade with Tampa Bay for a left-handed hitting first baseman. What do you think about the first quarter of the season?
Well, just overall, you know, the Giants are ahead of San Diego and L.A. They're playing 590 ball. And, you know, we have our quibbles, but so does everybody. I mean, the Dodgers had all of L.A., you know, in a tizzy. And the Padres, I don't think, have played up to expectations. But the bottom line is, you know, the Giants are they're in first place. They're a very good home team, which you have to be. They're, I think, 14-4. And if it stays like this, and, you know, Arizona might creep in there, too, that's just terrific. I mean, you can't ask for anything more than being in it. You know, first place is one thing, but just to have it, to be in the race as the summer gets into July and August, you know, that's what the fans want to see, and that's kind of what they're getting. It's pretty there's so many teams in the National League, Marty, I think, I'm not in favor of expanded playoffs every year, but this year with the pandemic and all the factors that go into that, you know, more teams in the postseason doesn't bother me. And, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, the Mets, the Phillies, the Braves, Washington, St. Louis, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, I mean, the Cubs. I mean, these teams, mostly from a hitting standpoint, there's so many good hitters out there and doing the best they can, you know, in a league that where the pitching is starting to really dominate. So I just think it's good for baseball the way this is working out. Nobody's running away with anything, and a lot of teams in contention.
Yeah, I think the Central's going to be interesting. On Sunday mornings, Bruce, I always enjoy touching on a few teams with you. The Cardinals, this is a team that, if you look at them statistically, there was an article the other day about their starting pitching and strikeout percentage and walk percentage and blah, blah, blah. They're not up in the upper echelons of the league, but they are on home runs given up. They don't give up home runs, and that's why they're in first place. But all their other metrics say they're not that good. So maybe the Central's got a race going.
Well, I'm sure it'll. None of those other teams, even the Pirates, are going to disappear. The Cardinals have two of the really great players and people in the game, in Arenado and Yadier Molina. So Arenado's mechanics at the plate, the way he keeps his head down on impact, the bat meeting the ball, his head down is just absolutely textbook. It's such a great thing to watch. He'll go down and get a pitch, or he can turn on the upper, you know, high heat, and he's getting delivering some really big hits for them. And Molina is just he's one of those guys like Salvador Perez or Posey. He's just a great leader. And those two guys are among the reasons they're up there and will stay there for sure.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Dodger series next weekend. I think that's the first big giant Dodger series of the year. This is they mean something.
Well, they do. I mean, and, you know, Seager's out. Bellinger's been out. Pollock's out right now. Dustin May is out. David Price. I mean, they've really had a bunch of injuries. And, you know, I hope they're working Pujols in by then, because, you know, that he's he's so motivated right now. And you know, he's not going to disgrace himself. They obviously don't have a place for him to start. With Muncy at first base, but they say Muncy can play a little second or third, and Pujols could get a little shot at first base occasionally. And that's going to be great because, you know, the Dodgers would really like to they'd like to sweep the Giants and, in their minds, bring a little clarity to the race. But baseball isn't always that clear, is it?
No, I imagine we'll see Kershaw sometime next weekend. We'll see Urias, and we'll see Bauer. That would be something, huh?
Oh, Bauer's stuff. Was it yesterday? Good Lord. Just watching the highlights, but just incredible movement on the fastball, two different kinds of breaking pitches, and he hasn't had complete success, but he's a master of just pure stuff. I love Urias. He was a huge hero of the World Series and didn't get enough play, I didn't think. Mm-hmm. He had a good outing recently, so, and you know, and Kershaw, and I don't know if we'll see Walker Buehler, but he's one of the great young pitchers, so it's going to be fun. You know, Gausman, make sure he's in the rotation for that series. That's all I know.
Yeah, Giants have four in Cincinnati, and I imagine they're going to try to set it up where we'll see Wood for sure and Gausman in there as well. Well, interesting. Looking at a couple of things in baseball that I just wanted to chat with you about, I was watching the extra innings package last night, of course, after the Giants game. I said, oh, let me flip around and see what else is on. And I got to Cincinnati and Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you something. It was extra innings. And I said, you know, there's going to be action here. And the runners on second base, something's going to happen. And this is, and I said, you know, I'm staying on this game. And I stayed on the game because of the extra inning rule. I'm afraid to admit it to the world, but I kind of liked it.
Well, there are times when the game has, I wouldn't say dragging, but you know, maybe it's there's no score, or it's 1-1 heading into the 10th. Nobody's really doing anything, and nothing has really happened. You know, and it's been dominated by the pitching, and all of a sudden, whoa! It's like you had a leadoff double from, I don't know, the sky. Somebody up there doubled. He's on second. I know that, and you're right. Where it gets me though is when you've had a really interesting, complex game, you know, using your bench and this and that, coming back and you know, all kinds of drama. The Padres Dodgers series was a great example. The games were so good, and all of a sudden, I was just a little bit offended when the top of the 10th, all of a sudden, there's a guy on second. You know, we don't need that. You know, this game is sustaining itself quite well on its own. But I'm kind of with you in the sense that sometimes the conversation starts up immediately. You know, do you want to get more than one run? Do you want that first guy up to try and hit it out? Do you play it old school and drop a bunt, or try and hit it to the right side, or what do you do? And if you're on the other side, the intentional walk comes into play, and there's so much that goes into it. So that alone, you know, anytime people are talking strategy, I think that's good.
Well, because normally you watch a game and it's walk, strikeout, home run.
Yeah.
We know that. That's the issue. But you get to this extra inning, and I say, well, something's going to happen here.
Yeah, that's right.
But there's going to be a result now. I'm not going to have to watch five innings of extra inning ball to see where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they should keep it. Maybe they should keep it.
Well, it won't be in the postseason, and the postseasons are just a bit, they're always great, you know, and people are going to wonder why would you bring this back? But I think it does have a chance of sticking around. I'm not going to tear out my hair over it. I'm really not, you know, just like the three batter minimum doesn't drive me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying, and we'll see what happens. Once again, conversation is good. Dialogue is good.
Yeah, it is. So I think there's something compelling about it, that you know you're going to get some action. You know, watching the games the first quarter of the season and watching Posey and Crawford, of course, Longoria and Belt, and Longoria signed for next year. But, Bruce, I was thinking about it. You know, the Giants farm system is not ready to produce that many players who will take over and be, a championship team.
Right.
I'm thinking maybe that these, you know, the core guys should be signed for like maybe a 2-year deal and with a third year option. I wouldn't just let them walk. I don't think, unless they're going to go out and sign Corey Seager or, you know, a bunch of free agents, which I don't think they're going to do. I would actually really, really consider the keeping Belt, Crawford, and Posey.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly don't want to run up the payroll with long-term deals for veterans. That's not going to happen. But, you know, watching Crawford, I mean, you absolutely want him to be your shortstop until he shows you otherwise. You know, that's right. Definitely going to leak into next year for certain. Longoria does so many things that remind you of his days in Tampa Bay. He's not exactly that player, but, you know, he's contributed in every way that you can. He's still a very good hitter and a tremendous defensive player. So there, you know, third base, what else would you do there? And Belt, you know, he's got power and he's a very good defensive player. You stick a bad defensive player at first base and all of a sudden you realize how much of a disadvantage you're at. And, you know, he's kind of an institution, too. I mean, Posey, I think that goes without saying. I think he's a Giant for life. And he'll probably tell you when he wants to leave, and he won't stay too long. But again, into next year, you can see it. So it's kind of wild.
Yeah, and there's no one to replace these people.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, what are you going to put Ruffin Dickerson at first base instead of Belt? I don't think so.
That's right. I mean, you know, the I think the most interesting guy they have now is probably Ramos, an outfielder who could come in and. Next year, I'd be surprised if Luciano's ready to come in and replace Crawford. You know, that's not an easy thing to do.
No,
and let him tear up the minors for another year, and then get him ready.
Yeah, and Joey Bart's another one.
You know,
they're not ready to. All right, but what about the pitching side? Cueto last night, Bruce, he looks a little bit out of shape to me, and he really ran out of gas once more. And Kapler, you know, trusted him for one more batter, and he couldn't get that batter out. Then he was gone. But Cueto would be a free agent. Now, that is someone I don't think you'd re-sign. And I think of the, you know, the Sclafani or Wood. You can't give them 3 or 4 year deals. I mean, that's just not something Farhan's going to do. But
no.
Gausman is another one. Gausman is one that can they open up the book a little bit in 3 years at 90 or something for Gausman?
Yeah, I think he's the one guy that you would do that. I mean, you don't have to completely close the books on a lucrative deal. I mean, this is one of the best pitchers in baseball. Just not even it's not even a question.
Yeah.
He doesn't have bad outings. You need that anchor. You know, all these guys are they signed him on 1 year deals, and it looks brilliant by Farhan because he's not. You know, he's not overly committed to something that can go wrong. But the whole rotation is signed on 1 year deals. And you know if they fade a little bit, some of the other teams are going to be looking at these guys for a trade. So it's very much in flux. But Cueto, it's funny he does look out of shape. But I'll tell you, on that play when it went off his foot and he got to go over to first base, he got there in a hurry. He was flying over there. So I think for a 10-yard sprint, he's tremendous.
He just ran out of gas pitching.
He did. I mean, he looked really good, and all of a sudden, boom, everybody's squaring him up. So, like we were saying yesterday, he's unpredictable to say what exactly you have in him and what kind of longevity he has. It's very hard to determine.
Mm. Boy, a couple of historical notes on this weekend. It's always fun to chat with you about, especially on a Sunday morning. I feel like it's the middle of the day already. I've been up since, I think, 3:30 or 4 o'clock. But I realize people are just waking up and hopefully enjoying the show and breakfast and coffee and what have you.
Yeah, I'm glad my alarm went off.
This was an anniversary of first home run for Darryl Strawberry. And when you look at the teams he played for, Bruce, they're all the New York teams, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Yankees, and the Mets. That was his career. That was his career.
Yeah, and you know it's funny when the Giants signed him in '94, in June of '94, which was an ill-fated season. You know the labor crisis shut it down, but he'd obviously had a ton of drug and alcohol problems. The Dodgers had cut him loose. He'd been in the Betty Ford Clinic, but he got himself sober and convinced the Giants and Dusty Baker, who was managing the team, that he was sober. And he was a really strong presence for that team. The numbers don't look great, but he was a totally positive presence. And that team really thought, you know, Matt Williams is going deep. You got Bonds in there too. They really thought they could get into the postseason that year. And after it all got shut down, they're thinking, well, you know, Strawberry, we'll bring him back next year. next thing you know, he's back. He blew his sobriety once again, and that's kind of the story of his career. But, man, I mean, even with all the bad stuff he did to his body, if you get him up to the plate, my goodness, he was so wonderful. I was very happy for him. He's a sweetheart of a guy. He really is. And I was glad to see him get that ring with the Mets. You know, one thing about Strawberry, when he was in high school, you know, at Crenshaw in L.A., obviously he was a really big star. In his junior year, Crenshaw played Granada Hills at Dodger Stadium for the title, for the CIF or City or whatever. Granada Hills had John Elway at third, and they pulled him off third to pitch the rest of the game, and he shut down Crenshaw the rest of the way. Strawberry started in the right field, and they brought him in to pitch, but he completely unraveled. So there's a couple of historical figures at as kids at Dodger Stadium, but you know, a checkered career for sure for Strawberry, but I think he's well remembered. As a guy with one of the most beautiful swings that the game has ever seen, for my money. And he did an awful lot through a lot of turmoil.
You know, that's exactly what I was going to say. The swing is what I remember. Beautiful, the whip, the speed of that swing. 335 home runs. And a nice guy. He was.
Yes.
Good guy.
Yes.
One other one, 1952, we'll go back to Virgil Trucks. And that's the name. I love the name. And Virgil Fire Trucks. And in the 40s, there was Bob Feller and Virgil Trucks. They were the hardest throwing pitchers around. He went in the Army, came out in 1945, and had no spring training, no nothing. It was the end of the season. The Cubs went to the World Series against the Tigers. The Tigers needed a pitcher. And Trucks, you know, a week out of the Army, pitched in the World Series for the Tigers. But he pitched two no-hitters in 1952, and this weekend was the anniversary of the first, and the second one had a story as well.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't the same pitcher that he had been. Can you imagine in the minor leagues striking out 420 hitters in one season? He did that in 1938. It's the all-time record for the minors post-1900. 420! But now you're way up in 1952, and he still has a lot left. He didn't have very good numbers, and the Tigers is one of the worst teams they've ever had. I think he lost like 19 games, but he pitches two no-hitters. And the second one was really interesting. I think you've got a Leonard Coppett story on that. But
yes.
There was a play. Phil Rizzuto hit a grounder that was bobbled. I think it was Johnny Pesky.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. And it was ruled an error. Then they changed it to a hit. This is like the third inning or something like that. And because the ball apparently got stuck in the web of Pesky's glove, and he couldn't do anything with it. But then the official scorer, who also happened to be writing for the New York Times, actually made a phone call down to the dugout and talked to Pesky, and they changed it back to an error. And thus the no-hitter was in play. But and the reason that was so interesting is that's really triggered, because now the New York Times, you're sitting to say you're the guy writing for the New York Times, and you're typing along, and the official scorer, you know, who I like to call me, that led to a widespread elimination of writers also official scoring the game they're covering.
Yeah, Leonard Coppett was there. Of course, Leonard, the wonderful.
He was everywhere.
Hall of Fame baseball writer. I learned so much from Leonard. I miss him dearly.
Yeah.
But he was in the press box, and, of course, John Drebinger was the writer that you referred to and the official scorer. And he was a Yankee fan, and he didn't want the Yankees to get no hit. So the ball's hit, and Pesky looks like he bobbles it. They call it an error. Then Drebinger changes it to a hit. And Leonard and all the other writers jump up and start screaming, "What are you doing?" And Drebinger says, "Under baseball law, if a ball gets stuck in the webbing of a glove, it's ruled a hit." And they went, "What? Where did that come from?"
I never heard of that.
They were just yelling and screaming at Drebinger, and finally he called down to Pesky, and Pesky said, "Yeah, I should have made the play. It bobbled it, and they gave him an error." And that was Trucks' second no-hitter. And he ended up, you're right, Bruce, 5-19 or something for the year. But Leonard told the story, and I just like the name Virgil Fire Trucks. I got to talk to him when Verlander threw his second no-hitter, tied something that Trucks had done, and I got Trucks on the phone and actually did an interview with him.
That's terrific. I mean, that's a great story, but I mean, you know, that there's Mickey Mantle. Mantle was leading off in that game in center field 52, the first year they don't have DiMaggio.
Wow.
And you know, Hank Bauer and Yogi Berra, Gene Woodling and Billy Martin was in there. You know, heck of a lineup for Virgil Trucks to for Fire to go to mow through and burn him up.
Virgil Fire Trucks. I saw him as a Miami Marlin. I have a picture of him. As a Miami Marlin in 1958. I have it in my book somewhere. So good. I'm glad we could talk about that. It's Sunday morning. Everyone sit back, have a breakfast.
Absolutely. We'll a little bit more.
Yeah, we could talk about Virgil Trucks. All right. Bill, you want to jump in for a second before we say goodbye to Bruce?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'm looking through the window of Original Joe's right now, Bruce, and is that a mimosa or a Bloody Mary you're sipping on?
Well, it's straight vodka, Bill, because this hour on a Sunday, you know, I kind of like to get right to it, you know. And the Joe's people are so accommodating. They know me. The usual? Yeah. Let me get a double.
Well, I want to touch on this bullpen. 5.22 earned run average. It's gone up a little bit. 7 blown saves right now. And, of course, yesterday on the postgame show, everybody wanted pitchers. They wanted to get the bullpen back up. Well, I look, Tropiano, Surfy, Leone, even Scott Kazmir. The problem is they're not on the 40-man roster, so you're going to have to make some moves if that happens. Do you see anything like this happening right now?
I don't know about right now, but you know, when they get home, they might start sorting this thing out. I don't think they want to send Duvall down right now. I think they'd love to see him get a little bit of confidence, a better outing, maybe not in the kind of situations they're bringing him into, just so he goes back with a little confidence. I think he does need to go back to the minors and restore himself a little bit. There's a little concern about even at the end with McGee. His velocity was down again last night. Gives up a pump to end it. Just a dead pull shot, no doubt. And they haven't gotten a whole lot out of Whistler at all. He's had some very not good moments and could probably use somebody in there. So I think they'll do something. I think they might need a little bit more evidence before they do something really drastic. But I would definitely expect it to be gradual, you know, and then they'll take a look at some guys.
Yeah, and the guys they bring up, don't forget, who are they? I mean, you know, we're not bringing up Mariano Rivera here.
Right.
You know, we're talking about guys who have not had success, you know, in the big league. So it's more of, what Farhan did, and that is bring in the 20 non-roster players. And now he's got to get him on the roster if he wants to bring him up. But still, we're not bringing up, you know, ace relievers. So I think I think at some point he's got to go outside. I know it's abhorrent to him, but at some point I think he's got to go outside the box and get someone who's established to balance this thing off. But we'll see. That's why we love baseball. All right,
absolutely.
Bruce, have a great day, and thanks for getting up early.
Thanks,
all right.
Bruce.
Oh, you bet. Talk to you.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Bill, let's take a break. Carrie, you'll join us, and we've got more coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.
It's Chevy truck season, and there's no better time to do what you do best. No better time to get the job done in a Chevy Silverado with best-in-class standard torque and a TurboMax engine with a 5-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty that outlasts both Ford and Ram. So kick off whatever your thing is season right, because it all starts with a Chevy truck.
See your Bay Area Chevy dealers today.
Based on latest competitive data, excludes other GM vehicles, whichever comes first. See dealer for limited warranty details based on 40 Ram 5-year 60,000-mile warranty on gasoline engines.